There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and now broadcasting from the BIP Show studios in Castlereagh Street, Sydney. You are listening to the BIP Show, about to be renamed BIP Show, season 7, episode, I think it's 11, I don't care. The show is brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Just to note that all information that if you think it sounds like advice, it's general advice. If it doesn't sound like advice, it's probably not. Always err on the side of caution. If you want to err on the side of advice, then you need to talk to either myself, I am investment manager at VFS Group, or you could talk to my partner in crime, Heath Moss, my brother from another mother from HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Very good, mate. Good morning. It's a bit of a dreary and wet day here in Adelaide, and I think it's going to be like that the whole Easter weekend.
So, oh, good, mate. That'll keep you inside.
Yeah, exactly. You keep the kids inside, unfortunately.
that's fine, mate. It's a hell of a weekend, isn't it? Now, I mean, first off, this episode is being recorded, like I said, in Sydney on the 6th of April already. Oh, my God, it's the second quarter of the year, 2023. The time is 10:04 a.m. The market is open, but I don't really care about what happens on the open because I don't run that sort of business. Mate, well, what a week. First off, this office that I'm in, I'm freezing my ass off in here, but I have just bought a new fridge. I made a purchase, Heath.
A new fridge. You bought some durable goods, which no one seems to be doing at the moment.
I'm the one guy that's holding everything up. I bought a little one. It's called a Coolerator or something like that. A Coolatron.
Yeah.
It looks bigger in the ad than Amazon gives it credit for.
Yeah.
It could be used for makeup. So once I'm done using this office, eventually I'll give it to one of the girls for their ballet concerts and jazz concerts and stuff that they can keep their makeup in it. It's a little travel fridge, right? So it's got one of those little adapter plugs in the back, but it is just big enough to fit four of those big cans of Asahi, you know, those big silver cans that they sell.
Yep.
Yeah. And I've just got to test it out to see that it actually does keep it chilled, but it keeps it below 18 degrees below ambient temperature, which I think sounds like about 4 degrees. So that's about as chilled as you want to do. But I've got to say that Amazon, it's amazing that we live in this amazing world of technology and what's going on in the future. Amazon still thinks that this purchase that I've made is just the first step on my lifelong goal of developing a mini fridge collection. Because even though I've bought the damn thing, they keep putting it in. It's like, guys, I've made the purchase. I don't need any more mini fridges. Okay, I'm not starting a mini fridge collection, nor am I starting a mini fridge reselling factory, buying wholesale. Kogan, though, oh my God, everyone would know this story. I put mini fridges into the search thing, and I've got my login, and then I get two emails a day from Kogan. Now telling me about would I like some more mini fridge suggestions from them? Here are some other mini fridge things that you'd like. I think I got Russell and Kogan knocking on my door, trying to jam a mini fridge into my mouth.
Yeah, they seem to go hard, don't they? I've had to unsubscribe from all the I've still got my login, but I've had to unsubscribe from all their emails. It's just constant barrage of emails.
You look at one thing,
you look at one thing, and they send you, you know, oh, you've got something in your card, or you looked at this, you're still interested, and they send you like three or four times a day, and it's like, just leave me alone. I'll buy it if I want, you know, and then you know, adverts for those products appear in your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed or Google. It's just relentless, the amount of targeted advertising we get these days.
Yeah.
Because we're always connected online. And it's not only us, it's what our partners and whoever we live with also, you know, you have the geolocation sort of advertising. They know you live together. So if your partner's looking at something and it comes up on your feed and you're like, oh, I didn't look at that. And
it's all about near field. So yeah, exactly. A lot of people think, now I saw this proven and evidenced by someone who's in the game, that everyone thinks, oh, the phone is listening to me. I mentioned a Mercedes GLC and now I'm getting ads on Facebook for Mercedes GLC. Okay. And that's actually not the case. What the case is that your phone isn't listening to you, but your phone has the near field connectivity to people who are around you.
Yep.
And if the people around you are, like, for example, what happened yesterday, my colleague at VFS, he was talking about the GLC and he put it into his search function to show me, hey, this is great, James, if you want to upgrade your car, have a look at this. I don't. It doesn't have more boot space, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to be going to a Peugeot. That's a different story. And now I've mentioned Peugeot, so the people around me are going to start to get notes about Peugeot because I've typed it into my phone. And at the near field, it's the near field because people around you are doing that. So your phone isn't listening to you. Your friends' phones are telling you that they're searching this sort of thing and you're all conversing together about it. That's what it does.
Yep, yep. And you, so the advice you take away from this is be careful what you search on Google and online, because your partner or whoever else is in your household may see that pop up on their timeline. So, yeah.
A friend of mine put, we've got this big friends chat, and a friend of ours put, he screenshotted something that he had off his search feed, or something about a school, and just went, can you believe the school is doing that? And it had one of those targeted ads in there for about finding a divorce lawyer.
Oh, no.
It's like, mate. Let's hope she doesn't
notice that.
Yeah, that's targeted. Mate, let's talk about, speaking of durable goods, speaking of bits and pieces around in the markets, we managed to miss a rate hike. Our rate hike cycle is done.
For now. Well, I think they've called it a pause, and Lowe was adamant that this isn't the end, or isn't, you know, he doesn't think it is the end. There may be a further tightening needed, but I think it's done. I'm pretty sure, actually 99% sure, we are done with our rate hikes here. We have a lot of headwinds coming into the economy at the moment. Consumer spending is really softening hard, and that's without the sort of mortgage fixed rate cliff that we're facing in the second half of this year, which will be another demand suck on our economy. Migration, net migration being really high will help us and help those retailers, not go too far into the depths. But it's really, it was a sensible and reasonable choice by Lowe to sit back and say, okay, let's see what the current rate cycle has, the effect it's had on the economy, because it all hasn't flowed through yet. But I think there's honestly a chance that we could be seeing a cut by the end of the year.
I think there is, as
the economy softens too much, at least definitely in Q1 next year, because I think with all this immigration coming through, we're going to need to see some investment in construction and housing again, and people won't do that if rates are going to remain too high. Now, we've already seen fixed rates start to come down at the big banks. Macquarie was the latest yesterday, dropping 30 basis points off of their 2, 3, 5, and 10 year fixed rates. So it's starting to work, and that will help us in that second half of the year with that mortgage cliff.
Yeah,
with fixed rates coming down, hopefully they come down a little bit more and ease the pressure on us. But yeah, it's a pause for now. But I think it's done. I think we are done.
Well, I got a lifelong friend of the show, Kit Lowe, who's basically, he says something, you pay attention and you shut the hell up and that's all you do. Because he knows what he's talking about. One of the few people on Twitter who knows what he's talking about. Hey, I got blocked by David Taylor. Hey. I called him out about his stupid Forex thing. Finally, first side note, Dave Taylor, ABC correspondent, air quotes, whatever the hell you want. I'm tired of playing nice, okay, and people like this need to be talked to. He put a thing out after the rate pause on Tuesday saying, oh, one thing is certain, that the Aussie dollar is going to get smashed after this. And immediately my chat just blew up and just went, Jimmy, it's time to get long Aussie dollars, mate. Anyway. I mean,
what people don't realise, just a little bit of a tangent, and I think David Scott put out a tweet about this at the start of the week. is that the rate differential has had little effect on the Australian dollar over the last, you know, X amount of years. It really, it's more tied to obviously the Chinese demand for our goods. If that starts coming back, then obviously we're going to see a higher Aussie dollar. But, you know, you can't fight the US dollar. I mean, if the US dollar is going to go higher, it doesn't matter what your
where the other side of that differential is.
It's going to go higher. So, yeah. I mean, and the same is the for the opposite way. So.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah,
sorry about that.
So Dave has blocked me on Twitter. Finally, after doing this, g'day, David, if you're listening, please stop doing the things that you're doing and actually focus on real financial journalism if you can. The ABC News Forex desk was short-lived, I think, and probably didn't need to go on. However, Kit Lowe, genius, actually someone who does know what he's talking about. Now, I quoted him yesterday, and thanks, Kit, because I've been ripping you off for ages, but I always credit you where I can. The RBA... and he had a stat here. The RBA has paused between the second last and last hike on every hiking cycle since the late 80s, bar one. So in April 89, September 89, 17.75%, 17.75% to 18%. October 94, which was December, went 6.5 to 7.5. May 2000 to August 2000, 6.25. Happened again in May, to, and only 2008 with back-to-back hikes in February and March to finish it off. So they pause between the second last and the last hike. Mm-hmm. So this is the pause, allegedly. This is the pause between the next hike. Now, the other person who you pay attention to, a lot of people say, oh, James, you don't make your own calls. You don't make your own calls. Hey, my call is I find the smart people and I pay attention to what they say. And I take it, you know, I'm blended into what it is that I need to do, and I follow what it is that it is. Gareth Ayer of the CBA.
What? Yep.
Gareth Ayer.
I was going to say we can't be experts in everything.
I can't. I don't. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. You want to pay for a 30-team research analyst department down there at VFS? You can pay for that. Go nuts, okay? But it's going to be in your service fee. I can't, okay? I've got Gareth Ed from the CBA, and he does some awesome research, and they've got much better data than I do because they see 60% of the spending on the eastern seaboard. So if he says that we see it going in a direction, it's going to go in a direction. He has managed to get it right every single step of the way. So if he says that he thinks that there's going to be one more hike in May, and then after that, a percent of cuts towards the back end of this year and the beginning of next year, then guess what's going to happen? Most probably it's going to be that unless something massively changes in the narrative, in the actual structure. That's the way it's going to be. Pay attention to Gareth. Pay attention to Kit. They're the guys that know what they're talking about. The end of story. What do you got?
Well, it really obviously comes down to that CPI data for the first quarter, which comes out, is it later this month? We're in April now, so I think it's later this month. If that comes in hot, then I think they could go. There is a chance of one more in May.
Yep.
But going on off, you know, current CPI data that we've seen, the last two monthly reads of CPI data were quite weak. There was some stickiness in the core, but core inflation generally lags anyway, on lagging data regardless. And everything else in the economy is pointing to an easing of prices and demand, softening of demand. We still haven't felt the full effects of these rate hikes that have come through yet. So I think there'll be a good 6 months. I mean, if we come to the, you know, the end of the third quarter or the start of the fourth and the economy is still humming and inflation is still stubbornly higher, then yeah, sure, I can see another couple of hikes coming through. But I can't see how that's going to happen. It would defy belief at the moment for us to come out that strong on the other side.
Yeah. Let's not go into New Zealand, but I mean, they came out with that 50 basis point hike that surprised every single person that I know. That was phenomenal. It so much so that a lot of people asked me, and I had two media spots yesterday, and it was just like, well, that's putting the big boy pants on and actually getting it done out there. That's some real, I mean, you know, I want to be on, you can't say that's the way that a man would do a rate hike, anything like that. I want to be on the right side of history, and you can't count it as sorts of gender things, but it's definitely putting, you know, actually saying this is the way that we see it going, and we actually want to beat inflation and not do it pick and choose. We're actually going to knock it down.
Yeah, but I mean, the New Zealand Central Bank also is in charge of housing over there, whereas we have APRA. They also cover housing over there. So,
good stuff.
I believe that is true. I'm pretty sure. Last time I checked, it was. So they govern, you know, the rules and that around housing. So their mandate is a little bit more skewed compared to the RBA. Now, a lot of people are going to say, you know, the RBA looks after housing here, etc. But you know, a lot of the time, what happens with housing and prices and rents, etc.
Yeah.
You know, lines up with what's happening with inflation, et cetera. So, our sole mandate for Low is inflation and financial market stability.
I think that the sole mandate for Low right now is just to avoid getting bananas thrown at him when he's at the shops. I may have misled someone before they did a radio. They always, Jimmy, have you got any notes for radio? You got any notes to do tips? And I started reading out Gareth Ed's note from the other day. And I started reading it as it was like point of form. Okay, Lowe said that he was going to be looking at this, and the RBA has got to look at, and it was all. So, and then I said, Governor Lowe mentioned that he's trying to avoid being assaulted in the street, and he's just gone, holy shit, was that in the statement? So I was like, yeah, mate, it says it right here in the email, and I really hope he didn't actually take that onto the radio because, that's April 1st. That's written April 1st all over it, mate. Good luck to him out there if he did. So.
I mean, no matter who is in Lowe's situation here in Australia, would have done the exact same thing.
for sure,
it's their mandate. It's what they're there for, to get inflation under control. So you know, rates were way too low for probably a little bit too long. But and even if we do have a slowdown or even possibly a recession, which I think is still unlikely. Rates are not going back to zero. I can see a situation where, you know, we have maybe a mild recession, rates head back towards the 1.5, 2% range. But I don't think we will ever go back to zero unless we have a catastrophe like the COVID situation again.
Absolutely correct. Now, I'm just going to pay a few bills and then we're going to come back with a bit of footy and a bit of an announcement and some tradable ideas. So a bit of a pushback from people. Actually, now that I'm looking through Kit Lowe's Twitter feed, I realise that he was the one who said that that 50 basis points from RBNZ was definitely on the cards. Oh, God, the guy's a freaking genius, mate. I swear to God.
He knows his stuff.
And you know what? A lifetime of me, I could bust my ass and I still wouldn't even be able to hold a candle. Like, I know that is the case. So just make sure that you keep people like that close, pay attention to what they say. That's the best investing advice that I can give anyone with regards to being in this market. Now, being in this market, did you know, Heath, is difficult and investing can be tough. Having a direction can be difficult. Single stock selection can be hard. That's why we have ETFs. We also have managed funds. Get a manager who knows how to do things. They're probably going to be better than you. Or I don't know who's listening. Chances are they're going to be better than you. That's just the way that the world works. They're in the job for a reason. However, keep on doing what you're doing. And the idea is that you can get good fund managers to do what it is that you do. Now, these guys at the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange have managed to create a product, AMFEX, AMFEX, that if you go to amfex.com and get yourself a login and you get the app, you can go through and scan all of the managed funds that you want to have access to. For example, we had Simon Mawini from Alan Gray, who, again, one of the smartest people you can meet. He's a contrarian investor. They do this deep value, long-term stuff, and they are absolutely sensational at doing it. If you want access to that fund, I mean, you can go and tap away in the Australian fund and actually do a submission, do the application and then have that fund. But if you just want access to its up or down in it, then you go to this AMFEX thing and you're just like, you know what, buy me that. You just buy it like it's just like a trade, a straight one-for-one, like a call option sort of thing like that. And you say, you know what, I think that that's going to go up over the next couple of weeks or months, and that's just sort of how you do it. So you sort of you're not going straight into the whole long-term buy and hold thing. You want to do that, you take a different direction. This is more just to get the exposure. And these guys have built it, and it is freaking amazing that they have done it. Super proud of what they've done. It's an insanely good little product, and it's really sort of starting to build up a lot of steam now. The more that I've talked about it, which is great, and the more that I talk about it, the more chance there is that they're going to help me keep this gig, which is super. So, mate, that's it. So, amfex.com, go and check it out. Get yourself a login. If you want to do things like the Alan Gray Contrarian, the Alan Gray Balance Fund or the Contrarian Fund, they've got it. We had Orbis on the other day. It's got them. If you want to invest in India, we've got access to all of the Indian funds as well. Asia, all through there too. It's just getting bigger and bigger. It's pretty much just a great way of just getting access to the exposure to pretty much any mutual fund that you can around the place. So that's that. Now, Heath, bills
yes.
are paid, which is great, keeping a roof over my children's head, and it's a very difficult thing to do at the moment too. And I'm looking forward to my wife being fully back in action too, which is something, you know, just anyway, we're going into that. Now, I've decided to change the show name. We're sweeping away the last remnants of what this show used to be, and I was sort of going over some of the initial ideas that we put together when this thing first cropped up during COVID. The reason why the BIP show existed was just as a way, because I was just like, hey, I talked to Colgo, and also Ken was involved too, Ken Vexler. We need to be telling people, no one knows what's going on, and we need to be telling people how to navigate this, because we actually need to get some smart people in to actually tell people what's going on with COVID. Now, when the world was changing and everything was shifting, all of a sudden you had, you know, we had JobKeeper coming in, we had inflation was potentially going to do what it was going to do, we had free money sloshing, the market was absolutely getting slammed and then running, and at the same time, then over that course of history, we also had the Trump thing. We had all of these nonsense sort of things that were going on over that time, and we had to tell people what to do. Somehow we landed on BIP Show, Colgo's idea. He just went ahead with it. It was last minute. That was it. The name has never really stuck. And I went out to a vote, and I talked to a few people, and they decided, you know what, James, the big thing that you do is the theory of thing, which is the theory that if something gets talked about enough, then it stops being one of those big events. And that's sort of what we're about here, of being able to explain what people actually need to know in a way that sort of just softens and dampens the shock factor of those events and that information. So we're going to call it, and if this is okay with you, partner, we're going to call it the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast.
Good. Yeah. Sounds good. I like it.
All right.
It.
You're yep. on board. And one of the yes. other little ideas that I had as well was that I always wanted it to sound like it was a couple of blokes just at the pub having a bit of a conversation and just shooting, you know, the old shooting the breeze. And so I found 10 hours of busy restaurant ambience just to play. Can you hear that where you are?
Yeah, I can hear that. Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so is it too loud?
No, definitely not.
So here we are. I've got 10 hours of this stuff sort of in the background. That's really annoying. So football. No, we'll yes. get to the footy. We'll get to the football at the end.
First oh, yes.
Off. I just turned that off. Sorry. But that's what I want, the ambience, the restaurant ambience in the background. It turns out that you just can't podcast with that noise in the background. I'm sorry. tradable ideas, mate. Give me a tradable idea, and it better be good, and it better come good.
Yeah, look, I mean, no pressure. Yeah. But look, I'm really concerned about markets at the moment, equity markets, especially the US. I think they're overvalued there. I mean, historically, if you look at the historical forward P's and PEs and that, it would suggest that they're not. But given the current environment, I don't think they're accounting for even a mild recession there. Now, earnings are coming down. Earnings forecasts are coming down, but they're not where they need to be yet. The markets are in a precarious sort of poison, a precarious sort of position at the moment. So what I have been doing for the last few weeks is going long duration, so buying bonds, and especially those with longer duration periods as well, simply because, you know, these things are things that got smashed over the last 18 months. They're the reason why, you know, SVB blew up and Signature Bank blew up as well, because they had to, you know, account for those losses on those sort of assets. Yep. But I think now is a time when things are getting shaky, things are getting a bit concerning, yields are coming down. That means bond prices are starting to rise again.
I see yields come off and bonds go up. Oh, wow.
Yeah, everyone's got to remember, inversely correlated.
G'day, Martin. Yields go up, bond prices. Yeah,
okay, prices that
old eventually we'll stop saying this at some stage. Even the Financial Times keeps reminding people that is the case. Guys, at some stage you just know this, and if you're reading that paper and you don't, you probably need to go back a little bit and start somewhere else. But anyway, sorry, go on.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, they're inversely correlated. So when yields are coming down, bond prices are going up. That, and that benefits these assets. And, you know, I'm buying these assets in the form of ETFs. One I've been buying a lot this week is a GGOV, the BetaShares US Treasury 20-year plus ETF. So the duration on that, I think, is the adjusted duration is about 17 years.
17?
Yep. Because it has a yield around 3.5%, I believe. Okay. But I would expect, as, you know, yields continue to come in, that the net asset value of that thing rises. And if we do have a recession in the US or here in Australia and that, then, you know, bonds will, people will seek bonds, the safety of bonds and US treasuries and Australian treasuries, et cetera.
Yep.
So prices will continue to rise and they'll offset losses in equities and outperform. So that's my tip for the next, say, 6 to 12 months.
And a note too.
I'm going long duration. There's a couple of other ones with a little bit of shorter duration, like AGVT is the Australian government bond, yeah, one again by Beta Shares. USTB is one by Global X.
Yeah, let's not let Beta Shares hog the limelight here. Okay, I want to make sure that I keep everyone on side.
Yeah, USTB is the shorter duration version of GGOV. Yeah. I think the duration's about seven years.
I think it's about one, 5 or 6 years. No, the duration. Yeah. Just for anyone, this is sort of that next step with the bond pricing because we all became bonds experts over the last 3 years. Duration is sort of like the, I'm just trying to think about how to describe it. It's just like the multiplier. So yep, if yields drop by 1%, then this would theoretically go up by 6%.
Hmm.
That's the duration.
Yeah, anyway, that's a measure of sensitivity of the bond price to yield.
Yeah, yeah. Now, so I want to say it's sort of like delta, and convexity is sort of like gamma, but that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, we need to get Chris Weston on the show for that sort of talk.
Yeah, I know. And bond people are so snooty, aren't they? Hey, Martin, yeah. Wetton, if you're listening as well. I did say, who was it? It was actually what's his name? That I can't remember his name. He's got an amazing buyback capital. After everyone got wiped, all the Credit Suisse AT1. The additional tier guys got wiped out. That's $17 billion, and he put that tweet of the meme of the guy speaking truth to a room full of people, and the meme was just like bond investors deserve to get wiped out because they're so snooty.
Well, they've had it good for the last 20-30 years.
Yeah, I'm tired of you looking down at me with your snooty. I've got my convexity and I've got my duration. I do my secret bid to cover and all this sort of nonsense. Just say it's something oversubscribed. Anyway, I could bang on about that for a day. That's good.
Yeah, but they've caused a bit of problems the last 18 months. You had the UK pension fund situation. Their duration was too long at the time and they got caught out, and then you had SVB and Signature Bank. So
I'll tell you what, anyone, and you sort of think about it, I forgot all about the UK pension, and some of these things do get blanked out a little bit. The same way that we forgot about, no, I'm not going to mention that. But, yeah, I'll tell you what, when the UK pension fund thing sort of happened, a lot of people really should have cracked into the US, into the banks, and just, wait, how much of this stuff have you actually got, and is this going to blow you up? I guess it probably could have. Probably some people did. I think
that was around about the same time when SVB went and got that $20 billion loan from the Fed because they had that loan facility there which no one was using at the time, and SVB did go and tap it for $20 billion. And I think that was around September last year. It might be around about the same time that the UK pension funds had their problems and had to be – that was a bailout. So, they're bailed out by the central bank over there. So, the writing was on the wall, as you say.
Yep. No, absolutely it was. Now, where was I? Now, my trade idea. Because people want a little bit shorter term, and I can come up with longer term or shorter term ideas at the top of a hat. Whether they're right or wrong is a completely different story. Now, you've already gone with the long duration. I already am long duration. That's great. I'm actually shaving off a little bit of tech. And so HNDQ is sort of just getting – it's been getting eased off this week. I should really be more on top of getting that eased off a little bit and, again, going sort of looking at bonds. But if you want something that's a little bit more sexy, and I can do this, and you can do this through the platform that we use as well, I would be probably trying to get something that has exposure to the downside in NVIDIA. I could see that just technically it's starting to look really shaky. If you wanted to get onto it a day early, then go for it. There's a few people that have sort of got some really good technical points on it, which is great. Also, I just think it's gone up like 160% in the last few months. That's pretty hot. There's a bit of instability coming in the semi space. China, again, something's cropping up with China. Also, I just saw a headline, and this is something I need to go further into. Don't invest just based on nonsense headlines that you see on Instagram. But this is from Bloomberg or CNBC saying that Google has announced their AI supercomputer, which which apparently blows NVIDIA's out of the way, their technology out of the way. I need to dig into that more. So that's sort of that one. It's just funny when you see something that sort of reinforces what you're thinking. That's it. Now, I wouldn't go openly short NVIDIA because that's how you go broke. What I'm going to do is I'd sell a call spread to buy a put, probably further dated out and maybe a little bit out of the money in that put. So selling the call spread just brings in a bit of capital. You use that capital straight off, so you're not making any money off the transaction. Hopefully you can keep it net zero. So you might have to go a little bit further out of the money for this one. If you want some legs constructed, you've got to wait until the middle of the night to actually construct them. I can't make it up now because it's who knows where the price is going to be. But that's sort of the direction that I'd want to be taking. And it means that your losses are limited to, you know, whatever the difference is on that call spread, less the money that you're bringing in, but also then you've got the price of the put. So anyway, it's just have exposure to the short side in NVIDIA. I just think that it's going to cool down a little bit. It's got a few percent on the downside. And amazingly, my options trades have been going spookily well ever since I took that break down at Lakes Entrance, down in Victoria. I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I do one every week or two, actually. And only one of them hasn't been profitable. That's really scary. So scary that you actually can't gloat about it because you're going to get that's like looking the no-hit pitcher in the eyes on the ninth inning. The market gods will come after you. And also people will just say, oh, prove it, prove it, prove it. It's just like, no, I know what I'm doing. It's definitely statistically an anomaly that I have to get one wrong and maybe this is it. So
I did see a tweet this morning, a retweet from Daniel at Ausbiz.
Yes.
Talking about the breadth of this NASDAQ rally we've seen over the last few weeks and how it's, you know, the widest spread that they're on record in terms of this rally, the amount of stocks that makes up this rally versus those that are, you know, going nowhere or falling. So it really has been a highly concentrated rally. You've seen it in Apple's share price, Microsoft, NVIDIA, all those sort of those big tech names. People have piled in, and probably for defensive reasons, a lot of them. It has been really concentrated, which, you know, is a worry because you want your rallies to have a wide breadth and be spread out across many names, not stuck in, you know, five or six.
Yeah. Now, so, we've got to crack on because I've actually got someone who's about to knock on my door here at the office.
No worries.
And I've actually got to present an SOA, which is amazing. I actually have the day job of actually talking about statements of advice to people. retail broking at its finest. Footy, mate, what have you got? Give us a real good red hot tip. People are listening to this show. Screw your duration. I want an AFL. I want an AFL tip that I could take to the bank, the money bank, and I want to see messages about this congratulating us on smart punting. Go.
All right, I think now not all the listeners may be able to get on this one because it's happening tonight. It's Lions versus Pies. I think the Lions up at the Gabba can knock off the Pies.
You really don't like those pies, do you? Okay.
I don't think only Pies fans like the Pies. I mean, really. I mean, they're playing great footy. I can't deny that. But they haven't got a ruck at the moment. There's a bit of controversy around one of their players that's come out this morning.
Oh.
I think if they weren't playing better, then, you know, there'd be more of a spotlight on their off-field stuff because they had Giovanni in the off-season also get in trouble. So I think the Lions can knock them off. The Lions have a fantastic midfield and do really well. They're up at the Gabba.
If you
miss out on that one, then I think there's a game on Saturday. I think the Dogs can cover the Lion versus the Tigers. I don't think the Tigers are playing all that flash, and the Dogs can.
Tigers are unconvincing.
Maybe not upset them.
Yeah, 12 and a half points, mate. More than two goals start for the Tigers there. That's pretty good, and no reason at all why. I mean, Richmond have been flaky at the best of times. Tell me about it. Now, on the NRL side of things, I've got a guy. Now, I've got two wrong. One was really close. Okay, guys, give me a break. The second one was just I was basically guessing, and you shouldn't have done that based on guesswork. So I've got a mate of mine to weigh in on this. Good day, David, if you are listening, and thank you very much for the tip. He likes the Manly Sea Eagles versus the Penrith Panthers, but they need 10.5. So Sportsbet have put him into 9.5, and he likes 10.5. So I'm not going to stray from him. So you pick your own line on that one, do whatever you've got to do, but give the Sea Eagles 10.5 away at Penrith at the Fortress. They may lose, but that's why you got 10.5. That's why the good Lord invented points start. That's all we got time for today, mate.
No worries. It's been a good one.
It has been a good one. So starting next week, it's going to be the Theory of Thing Investing podcast. Thank you very much, Heath Moss, HLM Investments.
No worries. Thank you.
Good luck with everything this weekend. Have yourself a great Easter. And same to everyone out there.
Stay safe on those roads, people. Easter holidays.
You know what? Just stay off the damn roads. Yeah. Okay?
That's a good idea. Just stay home.
That's what I'm going to do. I've got nothing to do tomorrow. Anyway, that's my problem. Mm. And I'm just probably going to play golf. So, for Easter. That's weird. Anyway, okay.
Anyone near that golf course, watch out for Jimmy's stray balls.
There are no stray balls when I'm hitting them, mate. 240 straight down the middle every time. We know that, and we've seen that, and we love that. Mate, have yourself a good one, and I'll talk to you later on. Thanks much, everyone.
Have a good one, everyone. Bye.
You can find us on iTunes at The BIP Show or wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Twitter at @_BIP_show, and we're on Facebook too. Just search for The BIP Show. I've got a website. Just Google Whelan Capital. It's got all of the links and all of the documents that you want to know. Individually, I am at JamesWhelan42 on Twitter. The show is produced by whoever I could find on the day. Thank you very much. We'll catch you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.